Well, this morning, if you have your Bibles and you want to open them up to 2 Corinthians, we're going to look at some scripture in 2 Corinthians, and we're going to go to Hebrews and look at a few other scriptures this morning. And we've been in this series where we've been just talking about exploring and walking and following with the Holy Spirit in our lives. And when you start to think about the Holy Spirit, it's something that was promised to you and I. And you might not think of it that way, but Jesus said after he came into this world and he lived a perfect life, he laid down his life, he died, he was put in a tomb, and then he was risen by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And then he was seen by people. And then as he was seeing people, he was telling them that he was going to do something. He was going to send a counselor. He was going to send an advocate that was going to be just like him. And that advocate was the Holy Spirit, and he would take up residence in us. And it's an incredible gift that God has poured out on people who believe. And hopefully as we've been walking through this series, you've been just kind of getting curious about the Holy Spirit, and you've been just exploring the Holy Spirit, because I think a lot of people are afraid of the Holy Spirit. Aaron, my sister-in-law, sent me this post here and this picture. When you're walking with the Holy Spirit, it kind of looks like this, right? You know, the Holy Spirit knows what's going on, where you're going, but you're terrified because you don't always know where God is heading, and you don't always know what he's doing. And some of the things that the Holy Spirit does, it's a lot different than you and I expect. And sometimes he does very strange things. But when he does, all of a sudden you get at the end of that ride, if you're like me, you're terrified on it. But after, you're like going, let's do it again, right? You're excited, and that's what happens when you're walking in the Spirit. You're just excited about who God is and what he's done in your life. So as we visit 1 Corinthians, I just want you to keep in mind, and this is chapter 2, verse 9 we're going to start with, is Paul is speaking to believers in the body, and he's kind of reminding them about the wisdom of God. How wonderful he is, how gracious he is, and him pouring out his son into our life and giving us hope and giving us freedom. And then after he kind of says those words, he has these words in verse 9. And it says, and this is about the middle of 9. It says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Paul was like, God is mysterious. God is so much bigger and so much other than us that we can't comprehend his plans for us. We cannot fathom what he has in store for us, the glorious things that we're going to experience when we're walking in him. And when we love him from our innermost being, it's not like a surface love. It's like this complete surrender. I love you from all the depth of my soul, and I'm surrendered to you. And what's really unique is when we love him like that, God reveals to us things and shows us his plans and the wonderful mysteries that he has in store for us. Because Paul goes on and he says, you can't fathom this love of God. You can't fathom his wisdom. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. I mean, this is incredible. God did something. God didn't have to give us his Spirit. God didn't have to place his Spirit in us, but he chose to. He placed his Spirit in us, and he revealed something. He's revealing his greatness, his glory, his love, his mercy, his compassion that he has for each one of us individually. He says, I want you to understand this, so I'm going to do something. I'm going to place my Spirit in you, because your mind, you can't comprehend me. You can't comprehend the love that I have for you. You can't comprehend the wonderful things that I want to do in your life and show you the deep and profound things of God. So he says, you can't fathom that in your mind because you're a finite person. You're human. And I am so other than human, God says. So you can't always comprehend me. So I'm going to put my Spirit in you so you can fathom these. And the Holy Spirit, as we start to surrender to the Holy Spirit, he begins to reveal these wonderful things about who God is to each one of us. So he reveals the deep secrets. And it says, no one can know a person's thought except a person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thought except God's own spirit. In other words, he's just simply saying is, you can't know what's in my mind. It's not possible. It's not possible for us to know what's in God's mind. But God wants us to know what's in his mind. God wants us to know how he feels about us. He wants us to experience and to know this radical love that he has for us. So he's put his Spirit in us, and his Spirit knows his mind. So his Spirit's dwelling inside of us, speaking to our spirit, revealing these wonderful mysteries of the depths of God. I mean, I don't know about you, but that's kind of staggering. That's what God wanted to do. He didn't have to do this. He looks at you and I and he goes, I love you this much. I want you to understand me. And when you start to understand me, you start to respond with your life. And out of the overflow of the love that he has for you, you start to love him and you start to love his creation around you, the other people. And it's just this beautiful thing that God does within us. And then he goes on and he says in verse 12, he says, and we have received God's Spirit. So we received this. This is something that you don't really necessarily seek after. Like you're like going, okay, God, give me more of your Spirit. No, you've received it. You have it. He says, and we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, because he wants us to understand there is a Spirit that rules this world. And the Spirit that rules this world is not interested in what's best for us. The Spirit in this world wants to draw us away from God. The Spirit in this world is of Satan and evil. So those things, he wants to draw us away from God's goodness. He wants us to believe that God's not for us, believe that God doesn't love you. He says, that's not the Spirit God placed in you. He places his Spirit in you. And his Spirit is revealing that you're loved, that he has a deep passion for you to understand him and to know the wonderful things that he has planned. And he says, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. And so you have the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. He's the healer. He's the redeemer. He's the revealer. He's the counselor. He's the comforter. He's the one who brings the word of God to us. He's the one who reveals who Christ is. And God has freely placed him in us. And I don't know about you, but when I started to read the scripture, I wrote down, isn't that wonderful? And another thing that I wrote, isn't that crazy? Crazy that the God of all the universe who holds everything in the palm of his hands, he knows your name. He knows what you need the most. He knows what you're going through. He knows what needs to be revealed to you at the right times, and he does it all for you. And all we have to do is say, I want to know you. I want to know you more. Well, how do you get the Holy Spirit? First of all, you repent. You turn away from your sins. You put your faith in the work that Christ has done on the cross and says to be baptized, and then you're filled with the full measure of the Holy Spirit of God. And he takes up residence in us to reveal the wonders of God. I don't know about you, but as I read this, I just thought, I think we ought to pause again and pray. I mean, just responding to this, that God has done this. I mean, a God that's not comprehensible, to somebody that we can't rationalize, that we can't fathom, says, I want you to fathom me. I want you to know me and to have this intimate, dynamic relationship with me. And I want you to know the depths of my love and the depths of my mysteries and wonders. I want that for you. So I'm placing my Spirit in you freely. I don't know about you, but I just want to take a moment and just praise him. So just take a moment in your own prayer word. Just go, God, I just praise you for who you are and whatever other things that God puts in your heart. Just take a moment right now. Heavenly Father, I'm truly overwhelmed at what you have done. I'm so overwhelmed of the love and the depth of your love that you have for each one of us. And I am humbled to the core of who I am, knowing that you want me to know you. You want me to understand the deepest things about who you are. So I can just fall in love with you and I can rest in you in the middle of this difficult world. God, I'm beyond words as I read these scriptures, knowing that we don't even have to do anything except for respond and to surrender. And you do the rest of the work. You saved us through your Son, and you've given us the power to live this life and to live a godly life by placing your Spirit in us. God, we just praise you for knowing what we need the most and caring about us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I truly am, when I read that verse, I am staggered inside. I'm overwhelmed by the love of God. I'm overwhelmed that he wants his Spirit, who is fully God, all power, all authority, he wants him to dwell inside of each one of us. That just is an overwhelming thought when I just start to think of who God really is. I don't know if that overwhelms you, but it should. And what should our response be? Humility. It should be, wow, you're incredible, God. You're amazing. God, here's my life. Take it. Use it for your glory. So this morning, what I want to do is we continue on in Scripture. I want us to start talking about the gifts of the Spirit, because when you talk about the gifts of the Spirit, it's something that I think is misunderstood in the church. Either what happens in the church is nobody talks about the gifts of the Spirit because they're afraid of them, or people focus on the gifts of the Spirit to the point where they use the gifts of the Spirit to glorify themselves. And when you look at the gifts of the Spirit, when you look at in Scripture, the gift of the Spirit are all given to people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's anybody that's a believer. Those gifts have been given to people to glorify Christ, to make much about who he is, to edify the body, to grow the body, to mature the body. And everybody who's came into your faith and you've accepted Christ, you've been gifted with gifts. You might not feel gifted, but let me tell you this morning, you're gifted. And the way that Paul says it in Ephesians chapter 2 is he says this. He says in verse 10, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So in other words, you're a piece of work, okay? I mean, but it's a precious piece of work. I don't want you to picture like 7th grade shop class where you had a hunk of wood and you'd made something you don't even know what it is to this day. But you're something that's very precious. Maybe more like a great literature writing, like a Paradise Lost, something that we kind of marvel at. Or maybe it's some creation that you've seen, and it's just beautiful. It's very intricate. It's very, very, very detailed. Well, that's what you are. You're that kind of a piece of work. And a lot of people don't think that you have any value sometimes. But let me just tell you, when I read the Scripture, God says that you're his workmanship, and something that he has known you before you even existed. And before he even created the world, he started to plan out plans for you. And he began to plan and make a plan for your life and plan to give you certain gifts in this world so that you would do good things for him to bring him glory. Now, a lot of people get this confused. We think that we do good things to earn our salvation. Not true. You can never earn your salvation. Salvation is through Christ and Christ alone and accepting that incredible gift. You do good things because you start to respond to this love of God, because you have this God that loves you, who's been crafting you. He's been using your life experiences, the good times, the bad times, the times where it feels like it's so overwhelming. He's been crafting you into what you are. And you're more like a beautiful poem. A poem that's written line by line and crafted line by line. Not like maybe one of our poets of like Homer or Dante. Or maybe you think of Milton or maybe Shakespeare. Because those poems are just kind of the imagination of men. And when God's writing the poem of you, it's his imagination, which is word and spirit. And your word and spirit. It's something that's very precious. You may not consider yourself precious, but when I read this verse, you are uniquely crafted and uniquely gifted to do something in this world for God and to bring him glory. And that's within the church body that we do that. That's why we have these gifts of the Spirit when we walk into 1 Corinthians. But I want us to look at Hebrews. Now you're like, wait a minute, Kelly. Hebrews, what are you talking about? Now, Hebrews, that's not the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit is 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 14. I don't want to rush to the gifts of the Spirit because I think we don't really understand the gifts of the Spirit. I think we have to understand when something is in the Word of God, we have to understand that God means these things. These are truths that stand the test of all time. Because there's a lot of people that believe that the gifts of the Spirit have been done away with. And I'm going to just tell you that's not true, because there's not a scripture verse that you can read that tells you that the gifts of the Spirit are done away with. They are still in effect for all believers. And when you start to look at the gifts of the Spirit, we have to weigh them through the Word of God as well. So I think we have to understand that the Word of God interprets the Word of God as well. And so we're going to start just with this understanding about the Word of God first. Because I think if we jump into these gifts, because of so many of you have had either bad experiences at churches where people use these gifts for their own fame and their own glory, or you've never heard about them. And so you're like going, this is scary. I don't want you to be afraid of the gifts of the Spirit, because these gifts are something that God has gifted. He's given for very specific reasons. And when you look at it, you and I are part of one body. And that's the body called the church. Christ is the head, and you and I are the rest. Some of you are going to be hands. Some of you are going to be arms. Some of you are going to be bodies. Some of you are going to be legs and feet. Some of you are going to be a fingernail or toenail. But you've all been gifted very uniquely. And when we all function and we use these gifts, the body functions the way it's supposed to be. The body of Christ, it tells us in the New Testament, is an unstoppable force that crashes down the gates of hell. But what's happening is in most bodies, they're not using the gifts of the Spirit. They're not even recognizing that the Spirit's gifted us. So churches are very ineffective. Churches are very self-centered instead of God-centered and Spirit-centered. So we want to make sure that when we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, that we're remaining in the truths of God's Word. Because it's God's Word that matters. It's what He says that matters, not what a pastor says, not the way that something's interpreted by man. But what does God's Word say? So we'll just start here in Hebrews chapter 4. And as we get into the Hebrews here, just keep in mind what's kind of going on in the middle of Hebrews is God is kind of warning the believers. Be careful. Be careful how you respond to the Word of God. Be careful how you hold it. And it's like all these warnings, but right in the middle of these warnings, you get this verse of 12 in chapter 4. It says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." I don't know about you, but I'm panicking right now, aren't you? The word of God, it's living and it's active. It penetrates, your joints. It separates bone and marrow. It gets to the innermost being and it knows my heart. Man, my heart's not so good sometimes. And it's like, in the middle of this, it's like you have this warning. Be careful how you're responding to the word, how you're handling the word of God, because it's living and it's active and it knows everything about you. And then it goes on. It says in verse 13, "Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." I mean, the Word of God lays us bare before God. When you open up the Word of God and you begin to read, you might be able to put a front on to me. You may think that life is going good or be able to put that front on. But when you get in here, you're laid bare, meaning God really knows what's going on inside of you. He knows if your heart is bent towards Him, or if your heart is focused on worldly things, or if your heart is broken. He knows. So He's like, so when you open up the Word of God, He says, be careful. It really knows you. It knows you better than you know you. That's why when all of a sudden you're reading it, a verse will pop out and speak to you in a way that is so profound that you're like going, wow. Well, you know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit bringing that word to your spirit and revealing things about the deep wonders and mysteries of God. So this passage, again, just keep in mind that it's in the middle of this tension where Paul's like warning them, be careful. Be careful about how you're handling the Word of God. And he would even go to the point where he would say, don't harden your hearts. Because it's easy to harden our hearts against the Word of God because maybe we've heard it a lot or we've been hurt by it because of people use it as a weapon. He's like, be careful. Don't let it harden that heart. So in this passage, when we were looking at this passage, keep in mind also that it's rooted in Psalm 95. And it's also rooted in the book of Exodus when God is giving his word as well. So it says, for the word of God is living and active. And some of you may have heard of John Owen. I never heard of him until I went to Cornerstone. They made us read a book, and it was called The Mortification of Sin. Sounds pretty exciting, right? It's really weighty, but it's awesome. For me, what it did is it helped me understand the depth of my sin, how ugly it is in the presence of this holy God, and how there is nothing that can cover that sin that I can do to make up for my sin except for the blood of Christ. And then it also woke me up to the fact that I need to start living a life different. I need to start living passionately for God and living a different life, different from this world, because of who he is. He spoke on this for the word of God and trying to understand it, because people always want to understand, well, what does the word of God mean? And he came out and he said the word of God meant Jesus. So every time you would read this, he would read it saying, for Jesus is living and active. So that's how he would kind of interpret it. But then he made an impact on my life. But then as I read this myself, I'm like, that doesn't seem right. And well, then I read a thing from John Calvin. And John Calvin has impacted a majority of people in West Michigan, Reformed. So he's made an impact on a lot of people in ministries. He came along and he said, oh, Mr. Owen, even though they weren't peers, kind of said, oh, you're wrong. What it really means is it really means, if you go back to Psalm 95 and you go back to Exodus, it's really talking about the word of God, the literal word of God. And then all of a sudden comes along this guy named Spurgeon. Now, I love Spurgeon myself. I love to hear some of his stuff that you can get online and he's very deep. And as he's talking, and he was explaining this in one of his commentaries, I guess he wasn't talking, I was reading, but I was hearing him talk, I guess. He said, well, Owen and Calvin, well, they're both right. I'm like, oh, come on, Spurgeon. You know, take a stance. And he began to unfold this very profound thing to me. He began to unfold saying that you cannot separate Jesus, the Word of God, or the Holy Spirit. If you try to separate the two, what happens is you fall short. So he says, yes, this is the Word of God. Yes, this is about Jesus. Yes, this is about the Holy Spirit, because they're so interlaced, you can't separate them. I'm like, that makes sense. So as we're kind of talking about this, you're saying, for the Word of God is living and active. And what you see him kind of saying to the Hebrew people, or in Hebrews, when they're talking about to these people, what he's going, he says, do you understand how living and alive the Word of God is? Do you understand that when the Word of God is spoken and it goes out, it gets into the depth and the core of the being? So be careful how you hold this. Be careful how you respond to this. And when you make decisions that are theological, or you're making decisions about spiritual gifts, whether they exist or don't exist, make sure that you're sticking with the Word of God. Don't depart from it. So that's what I want to do, is make sure that we're sticking with the Word of God, that we're in the Scripture and we're joining together. So what I would like you to do over this next week is I would like you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through chapter 14. I know it sounds like a lot, but you can handle it. And I want you to walk through with me these incredible gifts. So as we begin to hear the Word of God, we begin to hear the voice of God, let's not harden our hearts to what God wants to reveal to us. Because he wants to reveal the deep and mysterious wonders. But it's only when you and I are surrendered and we're interpreting his word through his word, and we're allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us, and we're allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal the truths. And we're not going, this is what such and such said. We're going, no, this is what God's word is saying, because that is the final authority. I don't know about you. I could care less what Calvin says, Owen says, Spurgeon says. If it goes against the word of God, then it doesn't go. It doesn't hold any weight. So in our faith, we want to develop our faith. We want to grow in our faith and our understanding of who he is. So it says it's living and it's active. So the Word of God, the Bible, yes, it's full of stories, but they're active. Yes, it's full of laws, but they're active. They're living. And the book, the Bible that I know, what it tells me is that it's alive. It's living. When I open it up, it's not just these words on a page. It's the breath of God coming out, convicting, telling us what we need to know, helping us understand these incredible, wonderful mysteries of his love for us. So that's what the Word of God is. And all throughout the Bible, it talks about, you know, the Word of God being like this. In Acts chapter 7, you may remember talking about Stephen last week. And he was a man that was not a trained man. He was not didn't go to any seminary. He would have been just a lay person that was called into ministry. His ministry was really to take care of the widows. But he had a deep, deep theological understanding of who God was. He began to preach, if you remember, and he began to preach to these people, and he began to teach from creation to the resurrection, to Christ being the only way to get salvation. I mean, he did it all in one message. And in that message, he refers to what happened when God gave his word to Moses. And it says, this is the one talking about Moses, who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him at Mount Sinai and with our fathers. And it says, he received living oracles to give us. Living oracles, meaning the law, the Ten Commandments that you and I picture as being on these stone tablets, meaning that they're kind of like stagnant, they're old, kind of like the way our world views the Bible, that it's an antiquated book, it doesn't speak to today. That's totally wrong. It's a living oracle. It's something that's living and active, and it's talking to current life situations now and back then, because that's what the Word of God does. And then later on, you hear Peter's kind of echoing these same words in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. He says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. So the Word of God is living and it's abiding. It's something that is constantly going through us. If we're opening it up and we're asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to us what God wants us to understand, all of a sudden it begins to change us. It begins to shape who we are. And I love how it says in Isaiah 55:11. It says, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the things for which I sent it. I mean, I love this verse because what it says is that when the Word of God is spoken, the Holy Spirit is in the Word of God and taking the Word of God and putting it into people. And as it goes out, it does exactly what it's supposed to do. It ministers to every person exactly how they need to hear it, and it never returns void. That takes a lot of pressure off me as a pastor. That means that I can just stand here in the presence of God and go, God, I have bathed the sermon in prayer. I want them to understand who you are. I want them to understand your word. I don't have to convince you of anything. I don't have to sell anything. I don't have to try to control or manipulate you by telling you sappy stories or doing this or whatever it takes. All I have to do is be sure that I'm being true to the Word of God. And God does something with his word because it's living and active. And his spirit is writing on his word and revealing who he is. And he's cutting to the deepest part, through the bone and the marrow, to the joints. And he's going into the innermost being. That's what the Word of God does. And when you hear me talking about the innermost being, or you hear me saying sometimes to our guts, because that's actually what they would have said in the Old Testament, because that's the inner being. It's like in your innermost being that the word cuts that deep into us, into our heart, into our soul, beyond the physical, beyond the mental. It cuts through all of that. And it shows us the truths of who God is, and then we respond. In fact, that's how most of you came into your faith. It wasn't a pastor. You may say that I came under this pastor. It's not because of somebody led you through a prayer. It's because you heard the living word of God, and it convicted the heart, the mind, and the soul. And it showed you the truths of who God is. That he is a God that loves you. He is a God who sent a Savior, his Son, to save you from your sins, to deliver you from death to life, to give you eternal life. You know that because it's the Spirit of God ministering to the depths of your spirit on the inside. So for me, this is a relief. Because the Word of God, it's active and it pierces. What does it pierce? The spirit, the soul. It pierces the psychological, the mental. It goes all the way into the innermost being. That's how deep the Word of God is. So as we approach the gifts of the Spirit, I want us to constantly be going, okay, is this what God's Word really says? And you're saying, why would you start in Hebrews, Kelly? Because I really want us to get that the Word of God is true. I really want us to get, well, when God speaks something, and when we open this book and it's here for all times. Because when God speaks, he does not change his mind. This is truth, and it can't be changed. We can try to manipulate it. We can try to use it, but to no avail. When we start to recognize that this is truly living and breathing, and this is all that matters, then all of a sudden our hearts change, and the Spirit can talk to us. And we respond to that Spirit on the inside. And we start to understand the incredible gifts. Because you start to think about the gifts of the Spirit. One of them is prophecy. Why would I think prophecy is something so important? Because the Word of God says it's important. There's people that have a gift to speak prophecy over people. And what is that? They're given a word to them. That's something that God has revealed to them about themselves. That this person could not know that what the other person was thinking or needing at the time. And they speak a word. And you're like, that scares me. That terrifies me. Well, the problem is you've heard it misused. You've heard it used in destructive manners. And people haven't been instructed how to use the gifts because the gifts are to be used to edify the body. I remember coming into ministry, somebody said, God gave me a word for you. You know what the word was? You're going to fail miserably as a pastor. Okay? So from this day on, you know what I started doing? Nobody can come to me and say that God has spoken. Because thus saith the Lord is right here. And when somebody uses God as a tool to destroy, that's not of God. That's of Satan. Nobody can come to you and say, thus saith the Lord. You know what somebody should do if they have a word of prophecy over you? Hey, God laid this on my heart. The Spirit of God was speaking to me about you, and this is what they said. And could you prayerfully consider this and see what the Holy Spirit reveals? See, a big difference, isn't there? And it's beautiful when it's used properly within the body of Christ. And so prophecy is one, and it tells us that it's there. The gift of tongues. Oh, we're terrified of it. We're going to talk about it. But the gift of tongues, it says, this is what the Word of God says, that it was given to kind of build us up or edify our soul, our innermost being. So it's a gift. So the text also tells us that people are going to dream dreams. And then they're going to have visions. It tells us that the Word of God is going to give words of encouragement to people, and people are going to speak words of encouragement to you. And these are all gifts of the Spirit. These are all things that God says they exist. So let's not discount them. What I want us to do is I want us to walk in truth and in revelation. I want us to walk in the Word, and I want us to respond to the Spirit. So you have knowledge going forward with the Word of God, but then you also have worshiping in the Spirit. It goes hand in hand in Scripture. So that's what I want us to do when we go through this. I want to take a look quickly at 1 Thessalonians 5:19. It says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecy, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. It says, do not quench the spirit. That word means do not extinguish it. Like take a fire extinguisher, spray it on it, put it out. How do we extinguish the spirit? We don't respond to it. We ignore it. We put it in a box. And we pretend that it doesn't even exist. And we squelch the spirit. And we extinguish him moving. And let me just tell you, you and I need the Spirit of God moving in our lives. Otherwise, we have a dead faith. I want a live faith, one that's real and genuine, not the fake stuff. I'm talking about what the Holy Spirit says. So he says, I want you not to squelch the Holy Spirit, but I want you to do something. I want you to test everything. I want you to test it by the Word of God. If the Word of God says this, then it's true. If the Word of God doesn't say that, then it's not true. Does that make sense? So as we go through this, that we're allowing God to fill us with discernment. And discernment comes from the Holy Spirit of God. And we're discerning, are these true truths? Because I do believe in prophecy. I had somebody, when I was in Sunday school, a Sunday school teacher, they spoke over me, and they said, Kelly, you're going to be a pastor. I just wanted to put the little flannel Jesus on the board. And then years later, as I kind of came along in my life and did my own thing and did whatever I wanted, I was doing these home inspections, and this lady that was a realtor, I did all the inspections for her clients because she really connected on more of not just a business level, but on a spiritual level. And a lot of times her clients couldn't be there because they were from out of state. So we were talking about spiritual things while I'm looking at the houses. And so it was really kind of cool. But she was like one of those the people that sometimes we get afraid of. They're on the charismatic side of the chart. And so everything to her was the devil, evil, and all these things. And so we always had great conversations. I mean, we were great friends, and we had great talks about who Jesus was. And I loved her dearly. And one day when we were talking and we're on 52nd and Burlingame in this house, and she goes, you're going to be a pastor. I'm like, yeah, right. I'm inspecting houses, not plans. What am I doing right now? I'm a pastor, right? So words of prophecy are there. How do I know? Because I've experienced it. God wants us to experience the fullness of his power. But then he finishes that and he says, I want you to not quench the Holy Spirit. And I want you to abstain from everything form of evil by resisting the Spirit. I want you to make sure that you're not resisting the movement of God in your life. I want you to test the spirits, meaning test, are these truthful? But don't push the Holy Spirit out. So my heart's desire is, as we kind of move along spirit gifts, my heart's desire is to really see us really become a church who's not afraid of them. A church that is engaged with them, using them properly, where we're walking in spirit and in truth continually. That's the kind of church that God has designed us to be. And that's what you see in scriptures. So as we move forward, let's go into it with an open heart, open minds, and going, God, reveal truths to us. And if it feels like we're on that roller coaster and we're terrified, let's be okay with it, because if the Holy Spirit's leading, it's good. No weird stuff, right? I already promised you that. But it does get a little weird when the Holy Spirit's leading, because he's going to ask us to do things that we're not comfortable with. And that's responding to the love of God. And we're not always good with that. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you saw that we needed a Savior, so you sent your Son, and we just marvel at you. Lord, may right now, as we close our service, may we just take a time just where we just exalt your name, exalt you for who you are, and just lift your name high. And may it be just as we sing, just a praise from our innermost being, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit gaineschurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.